about.
Can you hear me? Are you ready to shake up the world? Welcome to the revolution.
What happened to Madonna's face?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, Ralph, you got to help me out here. I'm, like, really parched. So thirsty. I need something to quench my thirst right now.
Tomato juice? No.
No, not tomato juice.
Carrot juice? No.
Not carrot juice.
Grape juice? No.
No, not grape juice. Is there anything else? Anything else you can give me?
Orange, yes, orange. Orange juice.
And now.
You know, when I was young, and when I was, of course, I feel young. I feel like I'm 30, 35, 39. Somebody said, are you young? I said, I think I'm young.
Our feature presentation.
I mean, come on. Because one time this guy said, are you young? And I said, I think I'm young. That was a sentence that happened.
That man is our president.
Yes.
And those are words that he just puts together. He kind of jumbles them and then sees where they fall and then makes sentences.
USA!
Right?
Yep.
I want to start today with a story of a California 7-Eleven customer who flew into a rage after his credit card was declined.
Oof.
That
sucks. Ever happened to you?
Yeah, of course. Who are you talking to?
This expired 4 years ago. That's weird.
Happens to me all the time. And you do sort of, all of a sudden you feel that heat of when you're in trouble when you're a kid. And like everyone in the store knows and they're looking at you. When they don't at all.
Yeah.
So this guy, apparently his credit card was declined and he went crazy. It was a 7-Eleven. This happened in February, and then the police in Santa Ana released the video because they were unable to find whoever did it. But the guy, it says in a fit of anger, the suspect struck the cashier in the head.
Oh my.
I've never done that.
Are you sure?
No, I just walk. You do the walk of shame out of the store.
Just slumped over. Yeah.
You just go, well, I'll just settle with the M&Ms that I put in my pocket.
Right. Keep the Cheetos.
Right. So he hit the cashier in the head. He pushed the cash register and the printer to the floor.
Oh.
There was another cashier. He picked up some bananas that were right there, threw them at that cashier.
Come on.
Then he pushed the other register off the counter. All totaled, he caused $700 worth of damage to the store.
Oh, no.
So nearly 2 months on, Santa Ana police had no leads, so they did release the video. They described him as between 30 and 35 years old and everything else that every other kind of description. But the funny part about this story is the guy's credit card was declined for a 75-cent bag of M&Ms.
No.
He was trying to charge M&Ms.
Oh, no.
And that's all it was, 75 cents.
Yeah, he's got bigger problems.
Now he's in problems with the police, and apparently he's done $700 worth of damage, and dude just wanted M&Ms.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel at some point, like the second cashier, after he's seen the first cashier take one to the dome.
Right.
And the cash machine just thrown onto the floor. I feel like that guy just gives him the M&Ms.
Really?
Yeah.
So you reward that behavior with what he was trying to buy.
No, I protect myself.
Okay, so you toss the M&Ms to him, get out
crazy.
Of the store.
Have some M&Ms. Okay. I'll pay for them. I don't want to get punched in the face over a bag of M&Ms.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem good.
How do you think that's all going to work out for him?
Well, yeah, I think he's going to get an accommodation.
Yeah. Oh, sweet.
From the city of Santa Ana. Because they love it so much.
Oh, dear.
Let's talk about today's Kevin Amede Show, shall we? We have on the program today Jim Rome, like we do on Thursdays.
Oh.
Talk sports with Jim Rome. We're going to try and get him to talk about the NHL playoffs.
What NHL playoffs?
Right. We're going to try and talk to him about the Clippers playoffs. We're going to try and talk to him about the Lakers.
Okay.
Because don't the Lakers understand they're supposed to be tanking it?
Yeah, they are kind of on a little streak right now, aren't they?
Stop that. Do they not understand how it works? I don't know. We've had this conversation before, but would you want your team to tank if it meant you could get a high draft pick? And my answer is yes.
Really?
Yeah. Because you can have a mediocre season this year and a mediocre season next year and the one after that and the one after that. Or you can try to make some upgrades and move, you know, get better. So I'd rather they tanked, but they're not getting the message.
I don't know. I don't think you're sending the right message to the children.
Sons of bitches. Really? But I don't care because I want my team to win.
Yeah, I don't care at all, to be honest.
We also have Dr. Drew on Thursdays, like we do. And we've got your Coachella tickets for weekend two coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We will take a break and come back with the showbiz. Yeah, I'm not feeling that one.
I don't know.
Standing go!
Ralph likes it. All right. Okay.
Ralph gets
yay! That's what the kids would say.
Ralph gets
Bean
you.
Bean still worked here.
Morning, everybody. It is 5:52. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here now with the Showbiz Beat.
This Hamelot. Not Hamelot at all. Hamilton show on Broadway.
I want to see Hamelot.
Me too.
Actually. The reason I made that mistake is because Hamilton is so hot right now. A spoof of the show called Spamilton is as hot as the real play is. Spamilton, which was a spoof of Hamilton, and of course a riff off of Spamalot, which was the musical version of Monty Python's Holy Grail, was only supposed to run for 9 performances. But ticket sales were so amazing that they've actually moved it into a theater of its own, right near the Richard Rogers Theater, where Hamilton is playing. So if you can't score a ticket for the real thing, you can go around the corner and probably go see the parody Spamilton around the corner at the Puerto Rican Traveling Theater, which sounds hard to find, I'm guessing. They keep moving it.
The Puerto Rican Traveling
That's
Theater.
The name of the theater on 47th Street. So if you're heading to New York, maybe you want to check out Spamilton.
I'd like to see that.
I would, too.
Have you seen the real deal? Have you seen Hamilton?
No.
Well, how do you appreciate a parody, then, if you're not familiar with the original?
I love Spamalot, and I love people rapping about history.
But this isn't Spamalot. This isn't...
Yeah,
this
but it's got spam in the name.
Right, but that's the only connection.
It's about rapping people in history, so right there.
I'd like to give you a rap.
You are.
Right now. Right in the nose. Hey, Shia LaBeouf's got problems.
What?
Yeah. I don't know if you saw recently him yelling at a bartender about French fries at the bowling alley in Studio City.
You mean...
Actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf.
I do. He got thrown out of a bowling alley.
Wow.
That's a bad sign when you're...
Right.
When you're that low on the totem pole.
Just the way when you're in a bowling alley.
And, of course, he did have that movie that opened up in the UK and made £7.
Is that true?
Yeah. He sold one ticket to his movie, Man Down. It just opened up in the UK in its opening weekend. It sold one ticket, a discount ticket, for £7. The average price of a movie ticket in England is like £7.50.
Was it bought by Shia LaBeouf?
No word yet on who purchased the ticket. So he's doing a little recouping. I think he's licking his wounds. He is reportedly spending a month living alone in a cabin in Finland.
That's very Shia.
Yeah.
Very Shia.
And very Bean.
Yes,
actually.
Both.
So maybe that's where Bean is today. Maybe he's in Finland making out with Shia LaBeouf. Casting news. Really cool casting news, actually. Josh Brolin has been added to the cast of the upcoming Deadpool 2 as Cable, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Kevin, of course, Cable is...
the provider of all electricity for the city. Am I right?
That makes him a superhero.
Because if he doesn't provide the electricity, there's no electricity, Ralph.
And no TV. That's a hero.
Right? Come on now.
Al, you know Cable is,
yeah,
of course.
He's the one that brings you your Netflix. He's like, here, you know your cable's out, but I'm here, super. And then he hands you a password. A little bit.
Which one of this is closer?
He hates us so much, Kevin.
Cable, of course, is Nathan Summers, who is
sure.
son mm-hmm. of X-Men mainstay Cyclops, Scott Summers. Now, Cable is his son from the future, and Cable is a time-traveling mutant who has come back, of course, with X-Force, and has interacted with Deadpool, and will act with him in this second film. Now, it looks like Josh Brolin has signed on for 4 films with Fox, so that means not only Deadpool, but he will likely show up in an X-Men film as well, since X-Force is also owned by 20th Century Fox, and those characters have been developed for a feature film as well.
When is that Deadpool 2 coming out?
Soon.
For a while? Oh, is it?
I don't know.
Okay.
So, you can be a superhero that meets your child from the future. That's terrifying, right?
Not
like you're just going about your day. Then you're like,
badass.
Really?
Yeah.
But his dad only has one eye?
No.
Oh.
Cyclops has
Three?
Nope.
Keep guessing.
Seven.
He has two eyes, regular eyes. But laser blasts come out of his eyes. That's why he has to wear that protective guard all the time. Have you never seen an X-Men movie?
Right. With the guy that's like stone. Michael Chiklis. He's like all like stone.
Fantastic
Four. Even I know that.
Oh, look at the captain's you fool.
I finally know
so many things.
Come on now.
A lot of fans are upset because Josh Brolin also plays Thanos.
The Greek superhero.
Who, of course, Kevin Thanos is.
Is the king of Asgard.
Oh, boy. he's the intergalactic villain who has, of course, the Infinity Gauntlet.
Right.
Oh.
And he's taking on the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
So Josh will be playing two roles in the Marvel Universe, although he is just a CGI character in the Avenger films. Any of this sinking in?
We're happy, though, that Josh Brolin is doing it, right?
We are happy.
Okay.
Yes.
Great.
Morrissey had to cut his Monday night concert in Tucson, Arizona short because he lost his voice. Billboard.com says he was in the middle of Every Day Is Like Sunday when his voice just gave out and he just sulked and walked off the stage. That's when one of Morrissey's band members had to take the microphone and say, "His voice is shot. You heard it. He's been trying really hard. He came out. He tried. His voice is really shot. We're sorry. He's sorry. You know he tried." That's a word for word.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
How much pouting was going on backstage after that event? Oh, my goodness.
That's insane.
Oh.
Well, I'm glad it was his voice and it wasn't something like, "He smelled ham." Sometimes he gets really upset if a place is selling meat, and he'll just walk away.
I feel like he's never not upset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hot, though.
And speaking of being upset, Charlie Murphy passed away yesterday. The comedian and older brother of Eddie Murphy died after a battle with leukemia. He was just 57 years old. Probably know him best from Dave Chappelle's TV show. He also appeared in the films including Jungle Fever and Night at the Museum. And started his career as a bodyguard for his brother Eddie, but became a very funny storyteller in his own right. And he also co-wrote some of Eddie's movies, including Vampire in Brooklyn and Norbit. Norbit!
Oh, yeah.
Norbit.
Norbit.
We loved Norbit.
Right.
I'm mad at you. Remember Norbit? You don't remember Norbit.
He's with the fat suit.
Yeah, that Eddie Murphy film.
Right.
Where he had a fat suit on.
Thank you.
Celebrity birthdays. Actor Ron Perlman is 67 years old today. Stain singer Aaron Lewis is 45. We're going to go outside with Aaron Lewis anytime soon? I guess not. Actress Allison Williams from Girls is 29. And singer Lou Bega.
A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Erica by my side. A little bit of Rita's all I need. A little bit of Tina's all I see.
Lou Bega, the Pico Taro of his time.
Yeah, no kidding.
How dare you.
He's 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:38. Jim Rome on the way. Dr. Drew also on the way. We've got your tickets for weekend two of Coachella. Excited about that. We had a conversation about promposals. And some of us are annoyed by them, and some of us are fine with them.
Right.
Allie and Bean hated.
Yeah.
Hated. Wanted them to be stopped. I think Ralph and I were fine with them.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Kimmel has weighed in.
Really?
Yes. But we're talking about this 17-year-old kid from Phoenix. He asked Emma Stone to his prom. Mm-hmm. He liked La La Land. He recreated one of the songs.
Right.
Here's a little bit of the audio. It's kind of difficult to hear, but when you watch it, you can sort of see a little bit more. But he recreates a number from La La Land to ask her to go to prom with him.
Summer is my name. So if you came, I think I'd lose it, go insane. We'll have to see the pop clock's certainly counting down. I hope you'll want to come on down. I'll see your face and think of how I got so lucky. People say I look like Ryan Gosling, and maybe that's a bit far-fetched.
All right, so people say I look like Ryan Gosling. I don't have time for it.
Right there.
Button. I'm just saying that part of it right there. But normally I think it's not a terrible thing. I don't care.
The thing for me is it's just been this influx of kids reaching out on social media to celebrities to ask them to their prom. And stop it. Cut it out.
You know who agrees with you is Jimmy Kimmel. He was talking about it last night.
Okay.
And he says high schoolers asking celebrities to prom is horrible and has to stop.
Oh, Jimmy. He's doing the Lord's work.
And then he goes on to explain.
Emma Stone has to pretend she's in London for 2 weeks. Yeah.
So she had written them
a letter back saying,
or a PR person had written a letter back saying, "Oh, unfortunately, I'm in London. I'm working, but I would love to come with you to your prom. But thank you for thinking of me."
Sure.
And blah blah blah. So
it's a cute story. I know. I get it, but it's also terrible, and it has to be stopped.
So he's with Ally and Bean.
Okay.
It's terrible, and it has to be stopped.
Listen, kid. Emma Stone, whether she's in London or not, doesn't want to go to the prom with you at all. Like, it's probably the last thing she wants to do. And not because she's in London working. She doesn't want to go to a dance with you because she's 28. And 28-year-old people don't want to go on dates with 16-year-old children because it's creepy. I don't know. Why do we find it socially acceptable for a boy to ask an adult celebrity on a date? What if it was the other way around? What if Shailene Woodley... No, you know what? What if Shia LaBeouf showed up at a high school looking for a date? He'd be arrested, right? He'd be beaten and arrested. But when this kid asks Emma Stone, oh, it's adorable, we put him on GMA. In fact...
By the way, they did put him on Good Morning America.
Of course they did.
He was on Good Morning America.
Yeah.
And he received a letter from Emma Stone.
Right, because that's what happens. You ask a celebrity, it goes viral, then it becomes this almost pressure for the celebrity to respond. All the local stations in Arizona were doing stories. Then all of a sudden, he's on Good Morning America.
This is a hostage situation, because if Emma Stone didn't write him a letter...
This is exactly what Ally said. Is basically if the celebrity doesn't respond, then that celebrity is an ass.
Let Jimmy speak.
She would look like a jerk. You know, when I was in high school, I would never dream. When I was in high school, you liked a girl, so you called her house. When she answered the phone, you got scared and hung the phone up. That was it. That's how you did it. I didn't contact Heather Locklear to ask her to go out with me. The audacity. Now, can we please go back to a time before selfies when teenagers had low self-esteem? Now, to be fair, it's not completely the kids' fault. Celebrities kind of did this to themselves because a few of them took the bait.
Now, that is also part of the problem, is a few celebrities responded to that and went on a date with whatever kid, to a prom or whatever.
Sure.
I think there was also the Ronda Rousey one.
Yeah, the Marine Ball.
With a Marine. Mm-hmm. But at least he was of age.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
But celebrities responding sort of screwed it up for themselves. Like, if no one responded from the beginning and these people got no attention, then maybe it wouldn't even be a thing.
Maybe.
But they started responding, and Emma Stone responded.
And, well, Kylie Jenner just went to a prom with a kid in Sacramento, which after the Pepsi commercial is like the second most ridiculous thing a member of that family has done this month. But now every overconfident kid at a school in America has to have a famous date for the prom. Listen, kids, don't look for your prom date in Us Weekly. It's not cute. Selena Gomez doesn't want to make out with you, okay? Go to the cafeteria. Find someone your own age and paw him or her in the back of a limo, okay? All right. Thank you very much. I'm really glad you're with me on this.
I mean, he raises good points. Can I just read one of my favorite tweets that I saw last week?
Yes, please.
From our favorite, Tim Simons.
From Veep.
Yeah, plays Jonah on Veep, by the way, back Sunday. His tweet that I literally had tears is, quote, "I swear to God, if any of you a-holes ever make me a promposal video, I will accept only to set fire to your school." Thank you, Tim.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52. Ralph Garman is here now for a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
A lot of casting news. As you know, J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter spinoff, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, was a smash hit. The movie took place in New York around 70 years before Harry's story. Therefore, characters who were in both stories are much younger in the spinoff. And so, in the next film, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them 2, very original title, I like it, the part of Albus Dumbledore has been cast. Of course, Dumbledore was played by Richard Harris.
Bobo.
No, Richard Harris, and then Michael Gambon in the original Harry Potter films. But it's going to be played by the much younger Jude Law in the next film. The new film, which won't be in theaters until 2018. We'll have Eddie Redmayne returning as magic zoologist Newt Scamander.
This sounds insane to people who haven't seen it or don't like it, but it's great.
Johnny Depp as Gellert Grindelwald, who was seen briefly at the end of the first film. He'll be back as well. And then you're going to have Jude Law whipping his magic wand around, spraying magic on people, whatever happens in that world. More interesting casting news. Josh Brolin has been added to the cast of Deadpool 2 as the time-traveling mutant Cable. We've been teased for some time now that Cable would be appearing in Deadpool 2, but no casting news. They said Pierce Brosnan at one moment was talking about playing Cable, but it looks like Josh Brolin has got the role, which is a little younger than I thought they would go, but I think it's going to work. And if you're a fan of Supergirl over there on the CW, you'll be happy to know that Calista Flockhart will be returning in her role of Cat Grant in the last two episodes of the season. They're trying to get her back for more episodes, but her schedule was very busy, and she opted out of Supergirl once they moved production up to Vancouver.
How busy is her schedule?
What's
what else is she doing? What else is she on?
She's got to patch up Harrison Ford every time he crashes a plane.
That's a great point.
Every time he crash lands, she's got to get out the bandages and the Bactine and the iodine.
I mean, it's not like she's on every other TV show that's out there.
You don't know, man.
I do know.
Oh, you do know.
Yeah.
I don't think she wanted to work in Vancouver, quite frankly. She was on the show when it was shot here in Los Angeles. When they moved production up to Canada, I think she opted out.
Gotcha.
And more in the superhero world, our pal Dolph Lundgren has just nabbed a cool gig. He's going to be in Aquaman.
Oh.
Dolph will play the king of another undersea kingdom, because, you know, Aquaman is the king of, Kevin?
England?
Yes. Aquaman is the king of England.
The king of the ocean.
Atlantis.
The king of the sea.
Atlantis.
The king of the water.
Atlantis is his undersea kingdom. Dolph Lundgren will play another rival king.
Game.
And he wants to nab Aquaman's girlfriend, Mira, for his own.
Game.
He wants to kill off Aquaman so he can have Amber Heard. Which,
game.
Why is that lame?
I mean, it's just Aquaman. Come on.
Have you seen him?
Game.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about Kevin.
He'll kick my ass.
A year from now, Kevin's like, Aquaman's so good. I saw it four times, and I had jujubes, and it was so good. It's the greatest thing. Why never nobody tell me that?
It's been a while since I've had jujubes. I need to write that down.
Racist.
Game.
Are you guys watching Survivor?
I am not. I'm recording it, and I watch it occasionally, but I am not.
Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
Keep going what you're doing.
Thank you.
I love Survivor. Watch it each and every week. Last night, shocking, shocking, shocking episode. Unbelievable.
How shocking and unbelievable can it be after this many seasons?
Jeff Varner, one of the competitors who was really on his way out, he was about to be voted out, went for the nuclear option.
Uh-oh.
Desperately trying to paint one of his tribe mates as untrustworthy and deceitful, and in doing so, turned to Zeke Smith, who's on the tribe with him there at the tribal council, and said, you can't trust this guy. He is deceitful. For example, why haven't you told anyone else that you are transgender?
On national television.
Outed Zeke as a transgender
why
man
would
on
he
national television.
Say that? Does he think that would help him?
He did.
Really?
Really?
And here's the thing. Jeff Varner is an openly gay man as well.
Wow.
And it was...
Wow.
The first time I'd ever seen an episode of Survivor, especially at Tribal Council, where everyone sort of snapped out of their isolated world of that game and that intrigue and everything that everyone's fighting for the $1 million and just turned on the guy and said, how could you possibly do this? What kind of person are you? And the guy said, well, I'm not a monster. And he started like backpedaling immediately. But even Jeff Probst was like, what is wrong with you? How could you do that? It was pretty remarkable. It was kind of shocking at the same time.
That is shocking.
It was kind of cool that everyone rose up in support of Zeke and really sort of put this guy in his place. So,
and what was Zeke's response?
He was very cool about it. He was just very stoic and very settled and said, I didn't want to be the first trans survivor player. I didn't want to be, you know, I don't want to be defined by that. So, no, I haven't told anybody about that. And he said, but look, maybe if some kid is watching this episode and he learned something from it, maybe there will be a better good that comes from all of this. But he was remarkably composed in the midst of everything. Everyone around him seemed to react with a lot more emotion.
It wasn't exactly what that contender wanted, was it?
No, it was not.
Wow.
But it was pretty remarkable television.
That's great.
Survivor still surprising and entertaining after all these seasons. It was remarkable last night, getting a lot of attention in the news today. Today's celebrity birthdays, Ron Perlman, the actor, 67 years old today. If you're not following Perlman on Twitter, by the way,
you
should. It's very entertaining.
Is he funny?
Yeah, he's very funny. Aaron Lewis, singer for Staind, he's 45 years old today. Allison Williams, you know her from Girls. She is, of course, the daughter of Brian Williams, the newsman, as well. At least that's what he tells people. If you trust him or not. She is 29. And Lou Bega. A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit that comes as a surprise to you, that Lou Bega? You weren't sure about that?
I feel like
so maybe since the last hour, it wasn't his birthday anymore?
I reached and hit the button. It was just not the right button.
Oh, well.
I don't even know what that button does.
I guess we'll all find out. Are we still in the air? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We've got your tickets for the Los Angeles Clippers in their first home game of the NBA playoffs. I believe they clinched home court last night.
Did they?
I believe so. So we've got your tickets for that. We've got your tickets for Coachella Weekend 2 as well. First, we want to tell you about Dr. Ben Carson. You remember him. He ran for president.
Sure.
He was a neurosurgeon.
Mm-hmm.
He was slightly dull. Slightly.
Understatement of the century.
Slightly low energy.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump has made him the head of housing and urban development.
Well, sure.
Right, because he's got no experience in that.
Why not?
So he's been saying that he wants to go around and visit low-income housing.
Okay.
Well, one of the people that's building low-income housing is former Miami Heat basketball star Alonzo Mourning.
Oh, wow.
So Alonzo Mourning was supposed to meet with Ben Carson, and they were supposed to go through the low-income housing.
Take a tour.
Right. Sure. And Ben Carson got in an elevator, and it stopped.
What do you mean, stopped?
It stopped, and they were stuck in the elevator.
Oh, no.
For 15 minutes. He, his wife, and five other people.
Oh, no. That's a bad look.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I assume it's just opening, and Alonzo Mourning
he's
like,
proud of it.
Come look
check
at my fantastic place. And then the elevator gets stuck for 15 minutes.
Oops.
So I thought we would catch up with Dr. Ben Carson.
Oh, wow.
Find out his, you know, angle on it, his view on it. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're good. We were just going through the story about you getting stuck in the elevator.
Yes.
So what happened when you first got stuck? Did you all look around, say, what's happening? Or did... It's a pretty good question.
I mean, that's a good first question.
Thank you. Right out of the gate.
We looked around at each other.
Uh-huh.
And then somebody said, hey, what's happening?
Okay. Was that you?
No.
No. Okay.
Mm-hmm. One of the other people in the elevator.
Okay, so...
Said, what's happening?
Right, so...
And I said, hey, hey, hey.
You did not just what's happening us.
We had some fun with that.
You did.
That was a television program.
Right.
It was.
Did everyone else in the elevator get that?
No.
No.
No, that's
too
bad.
I think my wife got it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
She said, okay, Raj.
Right.
And I said, no, that was Dwayne.
It was Dwayne.
And so we had a good laugh about that.
All right, now 15 minutes seems like a long time to be stuck in an elevator.
It is.
I assume you were pushing the call button and trying to get people's attention?
I did. And I said, hey, we're stuck in the elevator.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they said, could you speak up?
Right.
And I said, I don't think so. Haven't been able to so far. And then I said, well, poor people. They got some bad conditions to be living in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And their elevators get stuck.
Right, and that's a new place. It's not like it's old.
And then one of the guys who lives in that building said, this elevator is bigger than my apartment, so I don't mind.
Oh, no.
That's sad.
Yeah. I was trying to be funny, but I guess it is sad.
It really is.
But it's not the truth.
Oh. So you were making a joke.
I was making a joke.
Oh, okay.
The apartment is actually larger than the elevator.
I see.
Okay.
Okay, so that was humor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey.
That's good.
Okay. It took 15 minutes. How did they finally get to you?
They got the doors open.
Oh.
And then we walked out of the elevator.
Okay, I didn't know if it was stuck between floors or what happened.
Right. No, just stuck on the floor.
I see.
And Alonzo Mourning, he was very apologetic when we got out of the elevator.
I mean, you were touring his low-income housing, so it probably made him look bad.
And I said, I'm not moving into this place.
Right.
That was another joke.
Another joke?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Did Alonzo think that was funny?
Because I'm rich.
Right.
You don't have to.
You're a neurosurgeon.
So is Alonzo.
Yeah.
Right.
So I said, these people should be richer.
Okay, was that a joke?
No.
If they
would get into neurosurgery or basketball, they could live in nicer places.
Well, I'm not sure that's easy for everyone to do.
Yeah.
I'm not sure everybody's suited to be a neurosurgeon.
Oh.
Or a basketball player.
Oh, that's a good point, I guess.
I mean, you were aware of that, right?
Hmm. I like Florida.
Okay.
That's where we are right now doing this tour.
Uh-huh.
In Florida.
Right. This happened in Miami, right?
Yeah. What are you doing in Florida other than this?
They have good orange juice down here. I like orange juice.
Uh-huh.
Grape juice. Wow, that's crazy energy from you.
Hey.
There's a huge thing on the internet about dating, a first date, when somebody pulls out a Groupon.
Sure.
Is that a deal breaker? A Groupon deal is a deal breaker in the dating world.
Really?
Yes. That was tweeted recently. And then and then everybody started weighing in on, is it really a deal breaker?
Right. I would just say, hey, that dude's frugal.
Right. That's what a lot of people.
Got a great deal. And wow, we're in a helicopter. That's awesome. Right?
That's what a lot of people would say. And a lot of people are saying, so... Somebody else tweeted, so saving money and still being spontaneous is a bad thing?
Huh.
I think most of these people are saying it's fine with them.
Are they saying, the ones that are against it, are they saying because it's like so spur of the moment that you didn't put a lot of thought into the date?
That, and they're also worried about them not having any money.
About them
being cheap.
Come on.
This girl writes, all right, send him my way because I want a man who knows how to be frugal.
You're right.
Which is exactly what you were talking about. And we'll take your calls too. Groupon, first date.
Mm-hmm.
Deal breaker, good, bad.
Yeah.
Maybe you like it. Let us know. And any other first date deal breakers as well at 1-800-520-1067.
I have a definite first date deal breaker.
Okay.
If the person you're on a date with
doesn't show up,
that number one, number one, I'm not going with you if you don't show up. I just need you to know that up front. No, if they're rude to the server.
Right.
Or in my case, this was a couple years ago. I went out with this guy. Great chemistry. Having the best time thinking this is pretty awesome. The whole date going great. We went out to the valet. He exploded on the valet guy and then turned to me. He's like, oh, these people. And I was like, and we're done. Scene.
Wow. So everything was fine.
Everything was great. And then he just lost his mind on the valet guy. And I thought, what a piece of work you are. And that was it. Never went out with him again.
I think that's good to look for how people treat other
people.
Absolutely. Definitely. That's a good thing you need to look for. Yes, Chip?
I have one as well. So I went on a date a couple years ago with this guy, and we got drinks beforehand, hung out in the bar, a couple hours, talked, all that good stuff. Went to a movie, went to go see Grand Budapest Hotel. He talked to me the entire goddamn movie.
Oh, what? No.
Yeah. And that's like Wes Anderson movies. So you have to be paying attention to dialogue because that's about witty and witty stuff going on. And he just would not shut the F up.
What was he talking about? The movie or just everything?
Anything.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Oh, no.
That's an easy deal breaker right there.
Yeah.
Somebody else wrote out, being mad at a date using Groupon is like seeing a dope jacket and it rings up on sale, so you tell the cashier, I don't want it no more.
That's a great point. It was a great date, and then you get the bill, and he presents a Groupon, and you're like, nope.
Here's another girl that wants him. Girl, a man who conserves his cash and still takes me where I want to go is damn near two keepers.
Right?
So most people, it seems like, on the internet are weighing in that if it's a Groupon thing, it's all right.
Absolutely.
Because it's a decent sign. Let's start our calls with Ellie from Bell. Hi, Ellie.
Hey, how are you guys doing this morning?
Very good. Thank you. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. So Groupon, good, bad?
Honestly, the Groupon thing, you're saving money. Who cares?
Okay, right. Good. So. And do you have any other first date deal breakers?
Yes. If you're talking about your ex-girlfriend to me for the entire date, just let me walk away before you even get...
That happened?
Yeah. Oh, it happens a lot.
Why do people do that?
You know, stop this from ever happening again by ruining the rest of your life because I'm talking to you about my ex-girlfriend on the first date.
Right.
That's what you hear.
They do it, and it's ridiculous. Don't start off that way. That's the wrong way to open the door to a relationship.
And here's something that guys and girls do a ton. They talk about how psycho their ex is.
Oh,
guess
gosh,
what? As soon as you tell me your ex is psycho, my first thought is, what did you do?
How crazy are you to talk about them that way?
Thank you.
Yeah, wow, some of this stuff just seems so obvious.
It should.
Not
it
talking during a movie,
should.
For example.
Right.
Dumb as
right.
hell. Talking yeah. about your ex, dumb as hell, calling her crazy, dumb as hell.
Right. People aren't bright.
And then people go, oh, it's so impossible to meet good people.
It's true.
In Southern California. So well, don't talk about your ex the whole time,
right.
maybe. All right, let's go to Ryan, who's calling from Las Vegas, where he's streaming the show. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean. I'm a dental assistant in a dental office that's high-end cosmetic here in Vegas, and I have independently wealthy men of all ages. And business owners of all ages that use Groupon on their dates when they're going out with women. So ladies, I just say, hey, don't judge a book by its cover. You never know.
So you're saying the guy could have a tremendous amount of money, right. but still be using Groupon.
Right. Like, guys love using Groupon. And like I said, it's just a lot of my patients that I meet at my office when they come in and they mention about Groupon, they rave about it. I'm like, oh, great. And only a couple times have they mentioned the bad incident where the woman's like, I don't know, you know? It's come on, ladies. Give them a chance. You never know.
Do you have any Groupons for teeth whitening, Ryan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
That's not what he's talking about, though.
Oh.
No.
Oh, no.
So. Thank you for the call, Ryan.
Oh, no. He's a dental assistant.
Because he said, oh, yeah. You didn't get that?
I didn't.
Come on now.
Oh,
all right.
No.
Groupon on a first date, good or bad, or other first date disasters. Laura in East L.A., hi.
Hi.
You want to get your teeth whitened?
No, I'm actually such a huge advocate. I've been with my boyfriend for 5 years now. When we first started dating, you can find some creative, dope things on Groupon if you look hard enough.
Right?
Right, which you...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Laura.
I'd rather go on a really cool date that's creative than a random restaurant that has sucky food and, you know, not a good time. But I guess it's the person you're with, but Groupon has really cool deals.
They really do.
I got to tell you, that's most of the reaction. Most of the reaction online was, hey, that you get a good deal on something and that shows that you're frugal and that you don't waste money and that's great.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think most people agree with you, Laura.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
What's it like having a boyfriend for 5 years, Laura?
Oh, I'm sorry. Just hung
cool?
up on her.
Is that awesome or what?
All right. We're going to take your calls more in a minute. 1-800-520-1067. First date deal breakers is what we're talking about. This particular one is Groupon, but if you have a different one, you can call as well. 1-800-520-1067. All right. We're talking about first date deal breakers. Just before we play Green Day, let's talk to Kelsey in Los Angeles. Hi there.
Hi, so I went on the first date. I actually have two. The first one, I went on the first date with a guy. We were at a coffee shop, and we were sitting outside, and he was sitting perpendicular to the window, and he wouldn't stop looking at his own reflection the entire time.
In the really? He kept looking at the window just to check himself out?
Just to check himself out, like adjust his sunglasses, adjust his shirt, make sure he was flexing and whatever.
Wow. Gross.
And then the second one was I went on a date with this guy and we were bowling and just when I was changing my shoes into the gross bowling shoes, he told me that he had a foot fetish.
Your feet were out?
While my feet were exposed.
Out, all, like, all seductive and stuff?
All being all hot and stuff?
Can you take me home now? I'm good.
Oh, God.
Thank you, Kelsey, for the call. We'll take your calls next time. Just after 8 o'clock, we talk sports with Jim Rome. We've also got your tickets for Coachella weekend, too. We've got Dr. Drew coming up on the show. Somebody put out a tweet on the internet that Groupon is a deal breaker on a first date. Hmm. The person paying uses a Groupon. That's a bad sign. You need to get out. Most of the people online are disagreeing with it.
Yeah.
Allie disagrees with it.
Totally, because Groupons tend to be great deals on things you wouldn't think of. Like, oh, take a helicopter ride, and then we drop you off and you pet baby tigers. Like, it's amazing
stuff. I wonder if pet baby tigers.
That might not be one. Oh. But things along those lines, and it shows that they're frugal and they can be spontaneous.
All right, so we're talking about that. Is that a deal breaker on a first date and other deal breakers on first dates? Let's begin with Lou, who's calling in East L.A. Hi, Lou.
Hi there. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thank you. Hey, first date deal breaker. What?
Two things. The Groupon, that's fine. Mm-hmm. That's cool. But my deal breaker, black nail polish or chipped nod nails on a woman.
Okay, I can understand chip nod.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to be with a nail eater.
But yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And then when the nail polish just kind of like...
But the black nail polish?
Yeah.
That's
odd. When it's just barely on there, it's like all chipped off.
Okay, wait a minute. So what if it's really nice black nail polish?
Okay, you're making an effort. I can just turn the lights off. That's fine.
All right, Lou.
Take it easy, Lou.
Those short nail eaters. Oh, gosh.
Okay, so it's the nail eaters that he hates.
Lou is very upset,
Take
you
it easy, Lou. Nobody date Lou. That's a tip from the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, no.
All right, let's go to Kim in Valencia. Hi, Kim.
Hi.
We are talking about deal breakers on first dates. First of all, you're ruling on the Groupon.
I think it's fine.
Okay. Yeah. Second of all, do you have a different deal breaker?
Yeah. I met a guy at a Starbucks, kind of a blind date, and we went out to the parking lot to say goodbye, and he unzipped his pants.
So this was the first time you met him?
Yes.
And he walked out into the parking lot and unzipped his pants like he was ready to have sex with you?
He just wanted me to...
Right, I gotcha.
Yeah, no.
What are you, uptight, Kim? I'm kidding. That's awful.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's who would ever think of that?
The balls on that guy.
Right?
Literally.
Kim doesn't want to talk. All right, thank you, Kim.
I'm out.
Of course, that's crazy.
That's terrible.
Yeah, that's not good. Let's go to Nicole in Corona. By the way, most of these make such common sense.
You would think, yeah.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
First of all, Groupon, yay or nay?
I mean, everybody's on a budget, so I am all about the Groupon.
Okay, and other deal breakers on a first date?
Well, this was a lot of deal breakers all wrapped up into one first date.
Excellent.
I had met this guy on online dating. We'd been talking for a couple of days, so we decided to meet up and go grab some dinner. And when we did so, not even 5 minutes into the date, we're at like a little two-top, one side the booth, one side the chair kind of a table.
Right.
And I'm sitting in the booth side. He kind of swings over and decides to sit on the same side as me.
Okay.
Side sitter.
But there's no space in between us. Like, yeah. His thigh is right up against mine. He kept trying to kind of touch my leg. I'm like, dude, I don't even know you. So I get up and go to the bathroom. I go and sit on the opposite side.
You sit on the chair side now to stay away from him, right?
And he's like, what are you doing? You're so far away. And I was like, well, you know, I don't really know you that well. And it's craning my neck. To look at you while
Oh, nice. Talking. Nice lie, Nicole.
Yeah, I tried. and he's like, oh, okay, well, so he tries to tell me all these stories about college and whatnot, and then kind of just rolls into the fact that he's unemployed and living on his friend's couch and mows people's lawn for money every once in a while. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. You know, you got to do what you got to do to get by. And I'm like, so what's your plans for the future?
Listen to Nicole, by the way. Nicole is the most patient person in the world.
She's working through it.
He walked over and sat next to her where there was no space.
Yeah.
She got up and moved. Then she had to answer why.
Yeah.
Then he says he's sleeping on his friend's couch and Nicole is still in.
No, I'm not in. I'm just being polite.
Okay, polite.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, plans for the future. He tells me he has none. I'm like, all right, well, whatever. Let's just wrap up the date. Then he proceeds to tell me that he would like to split it because he is unemployed. Not a problem. It's cool. I get it. Whatever.
At that point, aren't you willing to just pay half of it so you can get out of the date?
Yeah, basically is my motive at that point.
Right.
And so I get out of there. We walk out. He walks me to my car and looks at me and goes, well, since this date went so well, I think I have something to tell you. And I was like, oh, God, what, are you married? And he's like, no, nothing like that. And I was like, okay, we'll go for it. And he's like, I have genital herpes.
All right.
I was like, okay. He goes, well, how does that make you feel? I go, honestly, I appreciate you being honest and telling somebody up front, but this date did not go well at all.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you told me.
The first red flag is him saying that the date went well.
Yeah, it was
like
really,
the fourth.
Really odd.
No, but it is the fourth.
Wow. Red flags rolled up into that one.
All right. So peace out. You got in your car and drove away.
Pretty much. And I've tried the online dating since, and it's kind of, I'm 27, you know.
Right.
It's one of the options I've got. And it's not that much fun. It's
I got
a little
you.
Well,
kind of
upside,
hellish.
Nicole, it doesn't get better. So.
All right. So congratulations.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
All right. Let's go to Will in Long Beach. Hey, Will.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks. First of all, you're ruling on Groupon, good or bad?
Groupon, I think, is good.
Good.
I think the deal breaker for me would be if they kind of held it against me for using Groupon.
Okay.
And I think they were.
That
would
be the deal breaker.
I can see that. All right.
Nice. Flip it around. Yeah.
And what's the other deal breaker? First date.
For me, it's after the date. So if I go on a date and they request to follow on Instagram or social media and they have like 5,000 followers, I mean, there's exceptions. Like if all their pictures are food and they're like a chef, that's okay. But if it's all selfies, it's a deal breaker for me.
It's a deal breaker for you if they have over 5,000. What if they have 4,500 followers?
No, you know, there's exceptions.
It's just a lot.
But if they're too involved in social media, I think they come off vain. It's kind of a deal breaker for me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I will not allow it.
Okay. Allie's turning you down.
His name's Will.
See what you did there? All right, let's go to Tracy in Anaheim. Hi, Tracy.
Oh, hi. Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Allie.
Good morning. Groupon, first of all.
I don't have a problem with it. I mean,
I feel like no one does.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what we're getting today. No one.
Right.
All right.
I think you're probably a pretty high maintenance bitch if you have a problem with it.
Agreed. Okay. Other deal breaker on a first date.
Well, I went on a first date, and when the waitress came, he told the waitress that we were, separate checks, please. And then proceeded to try to rub his hand up my thigh and get some.
What? Half of these stories involve the guys trying to get... Did you meet him on Tinder?
No, from a friend.
Guys guys that demand sex the first time they're out with you? That's a huge red flag. Why are guys so dumb?
I don't know. I mean, I don't mind splitting a bill.
Right.
I don't know about on a first date. I don't know, but...
But you were fine splitting the bill on the first day.
And if he says to you, you cool with splitting, you're going to say yes. But to tell the server right then we're splitting it is a bit, ooh, I don't like that.
It's a bit what?
Ooh.
Okay. Thank you, Tracy, for the call. Let's take one more because this is an odd one.
This is my favorite.
Kirsten in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Groupon. Good, bad?
I'm okay with it. Yeah.
You're fine with it. All right. Other deal breakers on first dates.
All right, so I'm 26, so the guys I date are sort of, you know, the range of people, you know, mid-20s.
Right.
I was out on a date with this guy, and I know it's going to sound superficial, but he pulled out his wallet, and it was one of those wallets that, like, Velcros open.
So it was all when he opened it?
Yeah, it kind of just immediately brought me back to, like, when I was 12 and have one of those wallets that has, like, a Power Rangers logo on it. It was not good.
So that was it for him. As soon as you heard the Velcro strip, he was out.
Yeah, that was
good. Okay. I love it so much.
All right. Good luck in the future. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, LA and OC's alternative rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52. It is Thursday morning, so just after 8, we're going to talk to Jim Rome about sports.
Oh, he's here.
That's a good look, Allie.
Thanks, Jim.
Straight fire, Allie.
Thanks, Jim.
And speaking of sports, we do have your tickets for the Los Angeles Clippers. They have home court in the first round.
Go Clippers.
They're going to play Saturday night against the Utah Jazz. And we've got your tickets coming up in the next hour, in the 8 o'clock hour, when you hear Ralph Lawler do some play-by-play. As soon as you hear Ralph Lawler, their play-by-play guy, do some play-by-play for the Clippers, be caller 20 at 1-800-520-1067, and you will win
Ralph
these tickets.
Lawler doing play-by-play for the Clippers?
Right.
That's a hot take, Kevin.
I'm just saying that's what they're looking for. Ralph Garman is here now. Time for a look at the showbiz beat.
Here he is. Here now. Clippers are doing better than the Fakers. Lakers are in the playoffs. It's a beef. There's a big beef going on.
Yes.
It's a beef.
Love beefs.
We have a showbiz beef.
Love it.
Between two of the heavyweights. It's a heavyweight beef off. It's a beef stroganoff. Between Louis C.K. And Tig Notaro.
Oh, no.
Yeah, beef. Beef, Allie. Beef.
All right, Jim.
Straight fire beef. Get your explosion, Allie.
I'm surprised by this.
Well, it all stems from Saturday Night Live. I don't know if you saw the most recent episode.
I did not.
SNL. But there was a sketch on there, a filmed comedy bit called Birthday Clown, where Louis C.K. plays sort of a lonely loser who's having his 53rd birthday and decides to get himself a birthday clown, like a kid's clown.
Right.
Shows up to entertain just him, sitting there on the couch, and the clown feels awkward and weird, and it's all very strange.
Right.
Well, turns out, Tig Notaro is a short film called Clown Service about a lonely woman who's sort of down in the dumps who hires herself a kid's clown to come to her apartment and entertain her on her own while she tries to get out of the depression.
Is that right?
And Tig claims that a writer, director for SNL was very familiar with her film. And that she had a prior relationship with Louis C.K., although the two haven't really spoken much lately, which makes me think there's some sort of bad blood there.
Hmm.
Yeah, because he released her comedy special.
He was an executive producer on her special, yeah.
Ugh.
She is now sharing her thoughts on the matter. Here's her statement. It's become impossible for me to ignore the cacophony of voices reaching out personally and publicly about the potential plagiarizing of my film Clown Service, she said. And if you watch both videos side by side, there are striking similarities between the two. So, beef. That's what I'm saying.
Stop it.
Hashtag Team Tig.
I'm surprised that SNL, though, would rip off somebody, especially Tig Notaro.
You think it's possible that they don't realize they were ripping her off?
If it was any other situation, Kevin, I would say so.
Yeah.
But there's no way with Louis C.K. being involved and this writer, producer, director for SNL that works with them on their filmed segments.
Yeah.
Who also is familiar with that film. There's no way that someone involved in this project didn't say, this is an awful lot like Tig's film.
Yeah.
There's no way they could have not struck them while they were making that. Even if someone had the idea independently. Somewhere along the line, someone should have said, you know, this is very much like that other thing.
Yeah. Mm.
And they must have said, well, whatever. We're Saturday Night Live. Jeez, Tig.
Boy, that's
Tigger, please. They said.
No one said that.
That's what they said.
No one said that.
I wish they would have.
I think they said it.
But they didn't.
I don't like that story.
They probably said it. It's beef, that's why. Beefs make you uncomfortable. You're not a big fan of the beef.
That isn't good for you.
Shouldn't have a lot of beef.
Right.
More fish. Chicken.
Pork?
That's the other white meat. Charlie Murphy's passed away, sadly. Comedian Eddie Murphy's older brother died after his battle with leukemia. He was just 57 years old today. Probably best known, folks, for working with Dave Chappelle on his TV show, but he was also in a number of films like Jungle Fever and Night at the Museum.
He was great.
Very, very funny man.
Yeah, he was funny.
Sad news.
Did you see his last tweet?
Yeah.
What was it?
One to sleep on, release the past to rest as deeply as possible. Oh. Which is kind of beautiful, too. Right? Who's with me?
I mean, if he knows he's dying?
Yeah, he was aware.
Yeah.
That he was towards the end.
I think that's something everybody should do. Release it. Just let the past be the past. Let's forgive you guys. Ralph, do you forgive me?
Nope.
All right.
And Spencer Pratt and Heidi Montag. Remember those two?
Are they from the Hills?
God, yes.
They're still around?
They're still around, and now, sadly, they're procreating.
Oh, great.
They have just announced their first child.
And their next reality show?
Yeah, I can imagine. By the way, Heidi said they got pregnant less than 1 month after they began trying. It was so easy for them.
People love to hear that.
Okay, why would they say that? Yeah.
Because they do. Because they're just the best at everything. Here's the thing. This is why I need to start my baby panel.
Your baby panel?
Yes. Where celebrity couples come to me, and then we sit them down, and then they have to sit in front of a panel, and we let them know whether they're allowed to have children or not. And most of the time, it's going to be fine. It's almost a rubber stamp. You just come in and out. It's a quick 5-minute interview.
Okay.
But when Heidi and Spencer come in the room,
you just say, turn right back around.
Are you even going to listen at all? Or no?
Sure, I'll give them their say. Okay. Look, I'm not not a dictator, for God's sakes.
No.
Be easier if you would.
I'm not unreasonable.
Right.
But the preponderance of evidence is working against them in this case. And then I would have to say, no, I'm sorry. But enjoy. Go back out and...
don't do that.
And not have children.
But do
enjoy your
else.
Lives not having children. Because they're not to have children. These two people are not to have children.
But
what good can come from them having a child?
People do change after they have kids.
Stop it.
A little bit?
No.
I wonder, though, the kid's going to have Heidi's original face, which we haven't seen for years. Right? Who's with me? This baby's going to come out, and she's going to be like, I don't even know who this is.
And the baby will probably be really tan.
Right?
Right? Remember that? That was a line from The Hills. That was an actual conversation somebody had with somebody in The Hills. Who was it? Was it...
Who was it?
Probably Lauren.
I think it was Lauren saying something about they were going to have...
Somebody's born
with a baby. And she's like, you guys are going to say beautiful babies because you're both so tan. It happened, I swear to you.
I love it.
We used to play that clip all the time.
Yeah.
Back when the other guy was alive. Oh, well. We lost so much audio when Bean died.
I think it's stupid.
We really should ask his estate to send us over his tapes.
I think it's the least they could do,
right? That's the least they could do. Any luck over there, Chip? How you doing?
I'm looking.
Yeah, well.
Maybe under tan baby? Have you looked under tan baby?
Under babies, under tan.
Next hour.
Under hot.
We'll have it ready next hour.
Maybe under, Spidey?
Ooh. Hills?
No.
Under
Laguna? Is it under Laguna?
Yeah, maybe it's another show.
We'll have it next hour.
MTV? Under reality? Under television?
Under shouldn't have
under
a baby?
Programs? Today's celebrity birthday is actor Ron Perlman is 67 years old today. Stain singer Aaron Lewis is 45. Allison Williams, the actress from Girls, is 29. Where's your bell? You got your bell working over there, Kevin? I'll help you out. I'll let you know when to ring that bell. And singer Lou Bega.
Do I have to play it?
If you weren't planning to, you could have let me know ahead of time.
A little bit of Monica in my life.
So I didn't have that weird Lou Bega, big announcing sort of style.
Now you're talking over.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize.
A little bit of Tina's what I see.
Yeah. Makes my foot loose. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. And every Thursday morning at this time, we talk to Mr. Jim Rome. You can follow him on Twitter at Jim Rome. You can also get his podcast, Jim Rome's Daily Jungle, available at jimrome.com. Play it and iTunes. Good morning, Jim. Thank you for joining us.
Two words. Go Ducks.
Woo! You want to start with the NHL playoffs?
Two more words. Where's Bean?
Bean's out.
Two more words. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Is this
going
to be two words at a time?
No, I'm done. That's six. That's six
that's
total.
Six.
No,
okay.
I'm done.
All right.
I'm good. What's going on?
Are you into the NHL playoffs? I know you're not a huge hockey fan.
Wrong answer.
Wrong
answer.
I am a huge
hockey fan. I love the Stanley Cup playoffs. I'm on record as saying this. It is the single best postseason of any major sport. So I love hockey and I love the playoffs. Go Ducks.
All right. Let's talk about why the playoffs in hockey are so amazing compared to the playoffs in every other sport. Because I feel the same way.
Yeah, I think those who don't watch hockey don't understand this. The reason it's different than every other sport is these guys have to go best of seven, four series in a row, and literally every single night, every single shift, every single minute, everything counts. It's like a war for every single second that they're out there, and they've got to play every other night for a month to win a championship. So I think it's tougher to win that championship than any other championship, and it's definitely more compelling. It's awesome.
The Ducks do play Calgary starting tonight at Honda Center, and then they play again Saturday. Do you have any type of pick for who's going to win the whole thing this year?
I do, but starting with the Ducks, yeah, there's going to be blood. If you like blood, you will like this. There's going to be blood because everything you need to know about the matchup, you could have learned when they played 10 days ago because Calgary's Mark Giordano took out Anaheim defenseman Cam Fowler with a cheap shot, or the Ducks will tell you that, and now they're going to be without him for up to 6 weeks, an eye for an eye. So believe me when I tell you, the Ducks will be looking to reaccommodate Giordano's knee or his face. So I love the Ducks in the series. There's going to be blood. Overall, the team that always seems to choke in the postseason are the Washington Capitals, but I think this is the year they get over. I'm going to go with them.
What?
Caps. C-A-P-S.
Jim,
caps.
I just held up a sign that says Capitals, and I pointed to myself. That's my pick, Jim.
Really?
Twinners.
Do you think that Jim...
Okay, let's go with the Blackhawks. Blackhawks
Jim,
are incredible.
That's
hey,
hurtful.
Allie.
That's hurtful. But I agree with you.
It's
they
not
are
personal, though.
Choke artists, but no, they
it's are.
Their year. It's
all right,
their
it is
year.
Their year.
Speaking of choke artists, and I hate to call them that because the Clippers have made the playoffs for 6 years in a row, but mm-hmm. they can't get past that second round. Do you think this is that year?
It better be. It better be. They've got the Utah Jazz in the first round, and if you look at the Clippers, they've got all that star value. Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin. They're in all the commercials, all the all-star games, and if you look at Utah Jazz, pretty much nobody knows who their big three is outside of Salt Lake, but those who know that they're no joke. So this is the year. They better get it done. They've got the star value. They've got the better players. They have the better team. They have to beat these guys.
If they don't, do they have to blow it up?
Yes. Yes, if they don't. And we talk about this every single year at this time.
Yeah.
Do you keep them together? And the answer always is one more shot, one more shot. Believe me, if they go into the tank and they lose to Utah in the first round, you blow them the hell up.
Yeah, that does suck sometimes. I'm a Kings fan.
I will push the button myself.
I'm a Kings fan, and we didn't make the playoffs this year or 2 years ago, and we won one game last year, and they fired the coach and the general manager and moved other people up, and that's just how it goes.
Hey, Kevin, did you just go we? We?
I said we. I did.
We? Did you just we the Kings?
I did.
Do you have a stick? Do you have skates?
I do.
Are you a king?
No, but I do have... skates.
Yeah.
With a stick.
Okay. Roller skates, inline skates. No, you're right, though. They. What have you done for us lately?
The
Clippers, just winning that first round is not a reason not to blow it up. If they come up short again and it goes really badly, you blow them up.
What were you thinking? Let's switch teams to the Lakers. What were you thinking when they were on a 5-run win streak? Were you thinking, what are they doing?
Yeah, it's a weird deal. It's a really, really weird deal. For those who don't know, they need to finish in the top three of the lottery to keep that pick or they lose it. And the worse they are, the more ping pong balls they get. So you're taught from day one as an athlete, you got to go out there and grind. You have to win. Whatever you do, do not go into the tank. But the way the system is set up, it rewards teams that tank. So to me, the bottom line is, it's great to end the season on a positive note with a few wins, but not nearly as good as it is to get that top three draft pick. They should have just rolled over, laid down, and died.
We've had this conversation before, and I know a lot of people really get angry about a team rolling over and laying down and dying, but I'm a fan of that. I want them to be, you know, get much better next year instead of just being average this year and average next year as well.
Yeah, listen, it doesn't make any sense at all. It's not their fault. It's the system, and I sympathize with the players and the coaches because they're taught to grind, as I mentioned, but they need that pick a lot more than they need a little momentum at the end of the year.
Yes, they
so,
do.
So, although it doesn't make sense, find a nice soft spot to lie down and die. And they didn't, and it's going to come back and bite them in the ass, I think.
Oh, that hurts.
Should have.
All right, one last question for you, Jim, and then we got to go. But you were the Grand Marshal of the O'Reilly 500. How did that go?
Absolutely awesome. Great, great day, except there was one sketchy moment that I got to lay out for you guys really quickly.
First of all, tell us what you did.
Okay, I show up, I suit up, and they kind of walk you around and you do the paces. But most of all, you are there to represent. O'Reilly's a huge sponsor, so they invited me. But most of all, I get up on a stage and I say, drivers, start your engines.
All right.
And you hope you don't choke. You hope you don't choke.
Uh-oh.
So I nailed that. But the thing was, they've got this catwalk. And what they do is they have the drivers go down the catwalk before the race, and then they go into their cars. It's like a pretty awesome thing. Except they had me go down the catwalk.
Uh-oh.
And they tell you, whatever you do, don't trip. I would have never tripped if they didn't say that.
No.
But that's in your head. But I'm walking down that thing like a boss. I'm owning it.
Right.
But then I go to slap a low five, like it's elevated, and people want to shake your hand.
Right.
My wedding ring goes flying off my hand
into
a crowd literally of thousands.
Wow.
Gone. Wedding band gone. So you can't stop. There's somebody right behind me. They're not stopping for 100,000 people.
Right.
So I'm all bummed out. I turn to walk, and I look out there, and 10 deep, there's this dude holding my ring. holding it up.
Holding it up for you to see?
Holding it up for me to see. And I'm like, brother, send it. They push that thing right to the top of the catwalk. And before I get off that thing's back on my hand.
Wow.
And like, I'm thinking this guy's going to be like, foul ball, Rome. It's mine. Right. I'm keeping it. Right. I'm not throwing it back.
Right.
And even worse, guys, I had lost that ring once before on a freak accident. So... And I had that same exact replica made. I almost had to do it again.
I don't know. It sounds like there are a lot of mistakes happening with that ring.
Jim, maybe get it resized.
Why?
It keeps falling off.
Yeah, you think? You think? Oh, my God.
That's a great story, though, that they actually held it up and passed
it. They gave it back, dude, and they passed it right to the front. I guarantee somebody would have been like, what, Rome? What? I don't have anything that's yours, or it's my ring now.
That's pretty cool.
Like, was the guy all, oh. And then gave it to you?
O'Reilly? No, but I would have. In fact, I haven't thanked the guy. I haven't seen the guy. I don't know the guy. But homeboy got me my ring back. So whoever you are, bro, mad
props.
You're
going to get so many emails now from a dude claiming he's that guy.
That was me.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It was me.
Exactly. There's no reward. There's no reward. Just thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jim. You can follow Jim Rome at Jim Rome on Twitter. You can also follow him at jimrome.com. And you can follow his daily jungle podcast, which is available at jimrome.com. Play it in iTunes. Jim, we always appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on Kevin and Bean.
Bye, fam.
Bye now. Bye. All right. You want to go to Coachella?
Yeah.
Weekend 2, call now, 1-800-520-1067. We are going to make you earn it with a game, but 1-800-520-1067. If you call now, you can win some Coachella Weekend 2 tickets next. Weekend 1 of Coachella starts tomorrow. Very excited about that. We've got tickets for you for Weekend 2. If you'd like to win those right now with a game we like to call...
Just a second!
So what we're going to do is we're going to play a second of a band, and you have to identify it. But this is a little harder because there are so many bands playing Coachella, so we're going to tell you who the band is or the artist.
Oh.
We're going to tell you who the band is or the artist. Then we'll play just a second of a song, and you have to name the song. You do not have to come up with the artist.
Will you play it twice?
We will play it twice.
Okay.
All right. Let's start with Sergio in Linwood. Hi, Sergio.
How's it going, guys?
We're doing...
Just a second!
Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. This is Lord. Here's her song.
I've never seen a dog.
One more time.
I've never seen a dog.
That's, here's our first single.
Called?
Royal.
Yes. Yeah. Nicely done.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh.
Well done. Hold on.
That song.
I do too.
It's a great song.
She's one of the people I'm most looking forward to seeing.
She's unreal.
Let's go to Cecilia in Toluca Lake. Hi there.
Hi, guys.
Hi. We're playing.
Just a second.
And your band is Empire of the Sun.
Awesome.
Empire of the Sun. Name this song. One more time. All right.
One of my favorite songs ever, Walking on a Dream.
Nice.
Cecilia.
Favorite song ever. How lucky.
Nice.
Thank you. You're in the drawing. Let's go to Damon in Orange. Hi, Damon.
Hi.
Are you ready for...
Just a second.
Absolutely.
All right. Your band is headlining Friday night. Radiohead. You ready?
Yes.
Here you go. One more time.
Karma Police.
Yes.
Wow.
How about that?
This is impressive.
Everyone's getting them so far. All right. Let's go to Darlene in Santa Fe Springs. Hi, Darlene.
Hey.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready?
I am ready.
This is Lady Gaga. Here's your just a second. Oh. One more time.
Oh. Bad Romance.
Yes. Four for four. No pressure, James, from Los Angeles. How are you?
Good.
Good. All right. Your band is New Order. New Order. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here it is. All right. One more time. Here you go.
Come on, James.
What New Order song is that?
Oh, my God. You gave me a hard one.
I mean, it's one of their biggest songs. Yeah. All of these are their biggest songs, so.
Guys, I can't.
Name a Blue Order song.
A what?
New Order song. Either one. You can name Blue Order or New Order.
Oh, gosh. I just went a blank.
Oh, it's Blue Monday. Sorry.
I didn't dance to that in elementary school.
Can we?
Do you want the film rights?
I would like some video of that we could put up on Instagram today.
Good times.
Okay.
I'll look for it.
Greg in Mission Viejo. Hi.
Hi.
All right. You ready for...
Just a second!
Your band is Capital Cities. All right. I wonder what song this is going to be. Here we go. One more time. All right. Capital Cities. Pretty much,
I'm drawing a blank.
Pretty much only the one song.
Jeez.
Safe and sound. Sorry. All right. That came off as more aggressive as I intended. Sorry.
It wasn't great.
Let's go to Christine in Whittier. Hi, Christine.
Hi.
Are you ready for?
Just a second.
Yes.
Here you go. Your band is Bastille. Here's your song. One more time. All right. What is that song from Bastille?
I don't know.
That's Pompeii. That was deceptive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just because it starts so differently. Kimia in Westlake Village. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Your band is Dream Car.
What band?
Dream Car. You know who that is?
Car?
Yeah, it's the three guys from No Doubt and Davey Havoc.
This is going to go well.
This is going to go well.
Okay.
And they formed a band called Dream Car. And there's only
That's
two.
Good.
Okay. Okay, I don't feel like this is going to go.
Kimia.
I'm sorry, Kimia.
Start Googling now.
It's okay.
Here's your second. Good luck. All right. One more time. Do you know what?
Wait, okay. Is it like a new song?
Yes.
Brand new.
Yes.
Is it Kill for Candy?
Yes!
I mean.
That's odd.
Listen, it's wonderful.
No, I didn't know what you were talking about for a second. Okay, I'm good.
Okay, you are good. You are good, and you're in the drawing. So congratulations. Hold on.
And if you haven't heard that song.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Listen to it, because I think it's one of the best songs this year.
Yeah, and we asked them what they're going to be playing at Coachella, and it's going to be a lot of new stuff. So that's going to be very exciting. All right, let's do the drawing to find out who wins tickets for weekend two of Coachella.
Wait, you mean to tell me a brand new band is going to be playing new stuff?
Because sometimes they don't want to because people video them and they put them up online. You know what I'm saying?
What would they play if
covers?
They weren't
playing? I don't know. All right, now I have to start this again. All right, so somebody's going to win tickets for weekend two of Coachella. Oh, Darlene, I couldn't even read it. Darlene, congratulations. You won tickets for weekend two. You got all 3 days. Enjoy the show.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for playing the game.
Just a second.
LAOC's alternative rock. This is the world famous K-Rock at 8:51 and the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk to Dr. Drew just after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph Garman is here with a look at the showbiz beat.
I'm just saying, if there's any teenage girls who need a prom date out there, feel free, you know, promposal me. I'm not as closed-minded as you people.
You'll go?
I'm open.
You're totally into dating a teen?
I'm totally open to teenage girls.
The younger, the better?
I don't know about that. Probably, I'm thinking probably senior prom, 18.
I see, okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing, yeah.
What about 17?
I can just tell the wife, I'm doing it as a celebrity friend.
Don't you understand this is a hostage situation?
I have no choice. I've been pressured. I have to or else I can't. With the things of the press and the attitudes of the citizenry.
She'll get it.
Right?
Yeah.
She'll get it.
Especially with that great explanation.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to show the kid a good time.
Oh.
So.
I mean, it's expected.
If we go to, you know, Cabo afterwards or whatever. She needs a story. She needs to have a story.
Right.
Can't just show up with a corsage. What am I? Joe Corsage?
You do have to worry about not being Joe Corsage, right?
You don't want to be him.
I mean, that's
very
important.
Pressing.
Just saying.
Oh, God.
Spencer Pratt and Heidi Montag are back. What do we have to do to silence this duo?
I don't know. I felt like they'd been gone for a long time, and I was...
Yeah, they were doing British shows.
I was happy with that.
That's right. Weren't they on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, or whatever? Anyway, you know them from The Hills and from Laguna Beach. They're awful, awful people.
Yeah.
And they were off our radar, but now magazines are covering them because she's pregnant. Well, that's a rarity.
Mm.
A woman has gotten pregnant. Let's give her some press. She told Us Weekly... I got pregnant less than 1 month after we began trying.
That's a horrible thing to say.
Right. Yeah. You know, some people get pregnant
one time from someone they barely know in the backseat of a Toyota Corolla.
Right, and it's also not any of your doing. You're not responsible that
it happens
you did.
Or it doesn't.
Right.
Douchebags.
And a lot of people have problems for a lot longer than that, so keep your mouth shut.
But they're both very tan, so they're probably going to be a good-looking kid.
That
right?
is true.
If you and Steven had babies, they'd be so good-looking. They would.
Because Steven's all tan.
Right?
Yeah, that's from...
Steven's all tan.
That's from the Laguna Beach. Somehow they thought the tan would be...
You know what?
Transferred to a child in utero.
That woman, the Steven So Tan woman, is Cutler's wife.
Kristen Cavallari?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a brain trust, those
wow.
two together, huh?
Right?
If you and Steven had babies, they'd be so good looking. They would.
Because Steven's all tan.
That whole cast, we had our chance.
That's just magical.
We could have just so carpet bombed the entire cast.
And not have that?
And not had any of that. Oh. That should have been our first indicator that they needed to be dealt with. Now look what we have to deal with.
But Steven's all tan.
Now Spencer Pratt and Heidi Montag are having little minions.
Yeah, that's not a They're positive.
Furthering their gene pool. Blech. All right, let's talk about some good casting news. Calista Flockhart's returning to Supergirl. Cat Grant is coming back for the last two episodes of the season. That is good news. Loved her character on that show. Although Jimmy's done a pretty good job of running Catco, I must say. Right, Allie?
He's been doing great.
Right.
A lot of paperwork involved, and
what
he's
do you
just
think
getting through it.
Of Kara's, though, new boss?
Yeah, he's tough.
Who is, of course?
Joe.
No.
Steve?
Millionaire?
Nope. Frank.
Keep going.
Bob.
Nope.
Bobo.
Snapper.
Snapper. That was next.
Snapper Carr, yeah. Of course, is her editor-in-chief, right, and she's trying to become a journalist now.
Yeah, and he came from the other big paper, and he's like, hey, I'll show you the ropes.
Snapper's
and
a dick.
Snapper is a dick, right, Kevin? You know.
Right? I know.
Do you watch Supergirl?
I do.
Wow. I'm impressed.
You know that. You know I watch Supergirl, and I watch The Flash,
you
and I watch Arrow.
You say those things, but I don't know.
It doesn't mean I can necessarily recall any of it.
I don't know what's true and what's not with you. You're an international man of history.
I don't
Could
lie.
Be a cover
I just,
story.
I have zero. I have a 3-second memory.
Because I ask you about storylines.
Right.
You're like, I don't know. I
right.
think I'm a little behind.
That's
his fault.
He's always
that's his
too
fault
behind.
Too. Yeah, that's
well,
his
sometimes
fault
I am.
Too. That's his default position. Oh, I don't know, because I'm a little behind on that. I think I'm like 2 shows, episodes behind.
It's impossible to keep up with TV shows if you have any life.
Why are you looking at me?
I don't know. Just to anyone is what I mean.
It really
with
is.
Such
I was looking right at
staring.
Allie.
Staring.
Like, my bad.
It really is hard to watch all the television
right?
that they make anymore. That's why I've pared it down. I have
yeah,
like
you
a,
almost have
I,
to.
I have like a like I don't know 6, 8, maybe tops 10 shows that I am dedicated to. And everything else has to fall by
it
the wayside.
It just has to.
You know
you
what? I know what I've had to adopt now, and I can't shake it. Damn you! Is
Designated Survivor?
No, oh, I watched that. I
that
it.
Had to go.
That's
oh,
good.
Really?
Well, I loved it.
Oh,
trust me,
good.
I loved it. But literally,
oh,
I could not fit it in.
It's good.
But this one has me by the throat now, and I want to get rid of it, but I can't. I just can't quit you. Blacklist Redemption. You watching
oh.
Blacklist Redemption?
I'm like 2 behind.
I'm like 2 no. behind on it. I don't know, but I know that the guy from Lost is in it.
Even worse than 2 behind is I love Blacklist, so uh-huh. I've recorded all of them, and I'm all of them behind.
It's
oh, no.
really good.
Is it?
Oh. It's really good.
I'm so excited now. How many
yeah.
have there been? 5?
Oh, no.
6?
More.
8?
Oh, just delete it.
No,
Evan.
I'll catch right up.
You're
nope.
not going to catch up.
I'm going to do the King of Mexico thing where you just watch oh. the first 5 seconds, and then you fast forward to
Previously
the
Previously on Blacklist Redemption. Okay, I sort of know what's happening.
Who could do that better than me?
Yeah.
Right?
You fill in the blanks,
Thank
Kevin.
You. Thank you.
No, but Blacklist Redemption is really
oh,
good.
Now I'm going to have to watch that.
Because it's got Tom Keene in it from Blacklist,
mm-hmm.
who's looking for information about his mother, who is Scotty Hargrave, played by Famke Janssen.
Right.
Who was on Blacklist, and she's moved over to this show. And now Terry O'Quinn from Lost is playing his father.
And he needs redemption.
Well, they all need redemption.
All
sure,
need, yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Veep's back Sunday.
Veep is back
right?
Sunday, right?
Oh,
what are you going to do
exciting.
There? Animal Kingdom is coming back?
Yes. I know, I'm in.
Come on. And then I got the whole CW slate. I got Legends, I got Arrow, I got Flash, I got Supergirl.
Right, so how do you keep up?
Just
sometimes you don't.
Dedication. Mm. Well, I'm a couple behind some of them.
I am a couple behind.
That's what
not a lot of them.
That's what I'm knowing. Some behind of.
I'm going to have less hockey to watch now.
That's
so
true. That's opened up some time.
That will free up some of my time. Mm. I'm bummed to say.
And in music news, if you're a Jack White fan, you know his side project, Dead Weather. Maybe you saw the Dead Weather concert at the Mayan here in Los Angeles back in 2009. If you did, then you're going to be happy because they're releasing a live album and DVD of that concert. It's going to be an LP right. DVD set, no CD or digital. So you can get it in vinyl. You get the vinyl, live album, and the DVD. But no CD and no digital download. And you can only get it if you subscribe to Jack's Third Man Records Vault package. So they're not making it easy for you to enjoy
Jack
it.
Jack does not go out of his way to make it easy.
You have to earn it if you want his music. Yes. But I thought there might be some Dead Weather fans out there who'd like to know that. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ron Perlman is 67 years old today. Aaron Lewis turns 45. Allison Williams of Girls turns 29. And Lou Bega gave us this earwig. A little bit of Rita's all I need.
A little bit of Tina's what I see. That's a nonsensical song, right?
42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
At this time, every Thursday, we like to check in with our good friend, Dr. Drew. You can follow him on Twitter, at Dr. Drew. He's also got all the podcasts and everything else. You can go to drdrew.com. Drew, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you, Kevin.
Sexting is what we want to talk about today, because we heard some very troubling information that came out of your podcast. Tell us about some of the surprising things that you were telling people about sexting.
Well, first of all, Kevin, it does not apply to you, so you can carry on.
Okay, good.
Okay, good.
Wait, okay.
Yeah, all right.
I was going to make a bad joke. Go ahead.
However, one of the things I did learn is that there are Latvian and Croatian hackers out there that are monitoring every single exchange between every single phone in this country. That of a sexting nature or picture nature, and they have algorithms that pick out certain things that let them know it's a nude picture or a young picture, and they're throwing them up on websites all over the world.
Is that right?
They are particularly looking for underage children because that is the sort of the prime business. That's sort of where they get their biggest bang for their buck, so to speak. Now, the surprising thing, I was talking to Dr. Lisa Stroman, who is the brains behind an organization called the Digital Citizen Academy. She's a psychologist, she's an attorney, and she was an FBI sort of profiler. And she has attempted to go to the California legislature to try to change the laws, and she has been met with absolute resistance. And the law is as follows. Every single time somebody under the age of 18 asks for a picture, it's a felony, sends a picture.
Okay, hold on. Just the asking.
The asking.
Even if the other person is under 18?
It's about the other person being under 18. You're asking for essentially child pornography. So you're procuring child pornography.
I always assumed, and maybe this is just me being ignorant, that if both people were underage, it was okay.
Not only is that not okay, the same thing applies to rape. You can, if both people are there, there's this little nuance in the California law where you can be within 2 years of the person under age of 18 if you're older than 18. But if somebody wants to make issue of it, two people under the age of 18, the male is guilty of a rape. Of an underage sexual contact.
Okay, but clarify that. So even if they both are willing to have sex,
he's
guilty of rape.
Potentially.
Wow.
Potentially. And there is the issue. So let's go back to the sex thing. So
okay.
Every time you ask for a picture, felony. Somebody who sends the picture, felony. How's the picture, felony.
Now, what does that mean, how's the picture? It's on your phone?
Yeah. Keep it on your phone, felony.
Because Mike, Psycho Mike sends a lot of crap. And
Thank God it's not underage sex.
Right, it's nothing underage.
Horrible stuff that I'm sure is now in a Latvian warehouse somewhere.
Right. From Dr. Drew's phone that's up on a website.
Please stop, Mike. I beg him to stop. And that, of course, brings great glee to his heart.
Okay, so if any of those photos are on your phone, that's a felony.
If they're underage, if it's an underage person. And then if you show it to another person, a felony. And every time you show it to another person, another count. And she has been in courts where these things have been prosecuted. And those children who really don't understand what they're doing, who have captured these images on their phone, are forever on the sex offender registry.
Oh my gosh.
Will not get into college, will not get jobs, and they don't, she and I gave a lecture in a high school, and the kids were like, what? And then they got paranoid. They went, oh my God, you're the government's hiding this from us. No, you're ignorant. This is just the facts in California.
I gotta tell you, that's
I had no idea.
It's shocking.
It is shocking when you hear it, and parents need to understand this. People need to be aware of it. They need to educate their kids. Go to the digitalcitizenacademy.org website. Learn about it. It requires a lot of education. When you tell the kids about it, they're like, oh, man, okay, got it.
Ask you this? Yeah. What if you own the phone? You're a parent. Are you somehow liable for this as well if this is on something you
own? On your kid's phone?
That's a nuance. Again, you'd have to ask an attorney. I'm imagining not, because it is it's the intent to procure and distribute.
Right.
It's the intent that's the issue. It's not the instrument so much. But again, I don't know. I bet there could be liability all over the place. And again, it's a lot of states don't have these draconian laws, but California seems insistent on keeping them in place.
Why isn't every school having assemblies about this and telling kids about this?
Thank you. And that's what Lisa and I were starting to do, this Dr. Stroman and I, because we thought, man, people have to understand this and know about it. So we are sort of going out there and doing stuff like that.
When you're talking to schools, does every single person there pull out their phone and
start deleting stuff?
The rooms get a little agitated, that's for sure.
I can imagine.
Yeah, and even Kevin's getting a little agitated.
It's really shocking to know that it's not just a misdemeanor, it's a felony.
It's a felony, and these are multiple charges and a lifetime on the sex registry. And not only that, let's say you get away with it, so to speak. You have these hackers out there throwing the images up on international websites. So let's say 10 years later, you're an attorney, you're a psychologist, you're giving a lecture in a school, and the kids Google you, and there are these images from when you were 17. You know what I mean? I mean,
wow.
These things have effects beyond the legal liability. There's sort of a professional liability and a personal liability. And so, you know, there's things about the digital space that we're still not paying enough attention to. We all talk about how it's affecting our psychology and our relationships and the dating and blah, blah, blah. But there are some much more profound elements to this that people need to wear. Go to Digital Citizens Academy. I'm not the expert in it. She was, and I was there sort of talking about addiction.
Said Dr. Stroman had tried to get this changed in the legislature.
Yeah,
nope.
She told me she went to Cal Sacramento and tried to address it and just... No, no one's interested.
They wouldn't even listen to her.
Yeah, I mean, they got other stuff, to be fair. But, you know, they're just not interested in changing this. Yeah.
Wow. So, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And to be, you know, and you can imagine, let's make it a misdemeanor. Let's make it so that it's not something up for the sex registry. But on the other hand, kids should understand this is serious stuff. This is, you know, I know they're so-called all doing it, but that doesn't make it less of a liability. If somebody's parent catches wind of this and wants to make an issue of it, and again, Dr. Stroman has seen this repeatedly, it's going to be disastrous.
If you're 14 or 15, you could be on the sex offenders list for life.
Let's say you're just a goofball and some guy you like says, hey, it's this, send me this, you know, and you do it, boom. That could be, you've got to think about this. Stays out somewhere, you know, stays out in the inner space, you know, the cyberspace forever.
How did you find out about the hackers and how they're doing that?
That's Dr. Stroman's thing.
Oh, she knows that.
She said one of the things she wants to do is she wants to set up a sort of a, you know, to show you how profound this is. She was going to have one of the Croatian hackers actually hack into the room during our presentation and show, like, pictures of people. You know what I mean? Off their phones.
But then,
wouldn't
you be arrested, and wouldn't it be a felony?
No. Just in other words, just show how profound they can dig into anything they want.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
They can come into the room from Croatia if they wanted to. So,
what's next? An election?
Thank you, Dr. Drew. That's all quite shocking to me.
Yeah, very shocking.
Thank you for. We were talking about a podcast. You can get it at drdrew.com. I think it's up there still. You can get Dr. Lisa Stroman and I talking about this. We were just sort of warming up for a presentation for the next day. And as usual, she was, regaling me with this data. I'm always amazed when I hear it.
You can also get the podcast, Dr. Drew Podcast, with Michael Catherwood from the Ice House, Adam and Dr. Drew Show, the Weekly Infusion, the app, where you don't have to go to the emergency room. You just have a doctor come to your house for $99.
Yeah, the Heal app.
$99, Heal All In. But and of course, Mike and Rudy shows up at the Ice House.
Sure,
he's shocking, right?
Is that what he didn't want to tell you?
About Rudy?
Yeah, no. Remember when he wouldn't tell you what?
Oh no, he wouldn't rehearse.
Oh, he
wouldn't. He would discuss any. He wouldn't make any plans.
I see.
That would ruin it.
That would ruin your live show that you had nothing prepared
rehearsal.
For.
I've got rehearsal. I would beg him just a couple of beats. Let's say a couple of beats. Let's agree what we're going to talk about. No.
Wow.
You squirm. Thank you.
Well, you can find everything on drdrew.com. Dr. Drew, we always appreciate your time on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you.
I hope you had the time of your life.
106.7 K-Rock is K-Rock.
Hope you had the time of your life, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
I like your DJ voice better than mine.
Thank you, man. It's great to be here.
It's 9:38. Time for a final look at the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
Trying to get a job on NPR. We're coming up next.
We have to slow it down.
Got an in-depth conversation with Representative Steve Gwynn. He is looking into that gasoline tax raise. We'll be seeing how much that's going to hurt you at the pump right after we hear from BBC.
I like it. Tired.
That NPR, man. It's soothing.
It sure is.
Soothing.
Some would say sleepy.
How dare you, sir? Mm-hmm. Well, you're a kid. You don't watch the news.
I don't watch the regular news. NPR is news at half speed.
No, man. That's where you get the in-depth coverage. You get the deets. Find out what's really going
on. So I get to listen to more news? That's what I need.
Deep dive. You find out the reason behind things while the world's happening.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
Do you listen to the news?
Of course not. I mean, I listen for 5 minutes on my way in just to make sure something massive didn't happen.
How about StoryCorps, where people interview each other about their lives, and each of these stories goes into the Library of Congress?
Don't be so boring.
This week on StoryCorps, Steve talks to his dad, Al.
They don't do that.
About their hardware business that's been running in Schenectady, New York for 106 years.
They don't do that.
They do it.
Do they do
Story
that?
Story Corps is the best.
Oh, dear Lord.
You hear real people, Kevin, talking about real lives.
Nope.
You know what? I have to stop you. This has become boring.
All right. Let me give out something now that people will like, especially if you're a fan of the Animation Domination Sundays over there on Fox. Bob's Burgers.
Yay!
Kids love Bob's
they
Burgers.
They sure do.
Bob's Burgers is doing a live event at the Orpheum Theater on June 17th and 18th. It's going to be a blast. You can see bobsburgerslive.com. You can get your tickets there or more information. But we've got a pair right now to give away to one winner. If you're a fan of Bob's Burgers, you will see the cast doing a live reading of one of their scripts at the Orpheum on June 17th or 18th. If you'd like to go, give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. It's June 17th or 18th will be your tickets. So let's say caller number 17 right now. We'll get a pair of tickets to Bob's Burgers Live.
Yay!
Kids are really excited.
They really love that.
I'm really excited. You know, sometimes I will abuse the power of the microphone.
A lot.
To try to further my, frankly, white-hot acting career. I've done it before with Sharktopus. You may remember I berated the poor people at Sharktopus until they gave me a job.
You sort of held them hostage until
I endlessly talking about it.
Right.
You know, House. Remember, for many, many seasons, I would talk about my love of House nonstop until finally they called me up and gave me a role as Bobby over there on House.
It's Bobby!
Well, I found my newest target.
Oh.
I will not rest until I have a gig in this new production that's just been announced over on Deadline.com.
Elena Vavilor?
No, not Elena Vavilor. Actually, I've been casting Elena.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Oh, for the love of God.
Yeah, I'll be doing a voiceover there on Elena Vavilor a little bit later this year. But now my new target is a feature film that is going to be produced by John Sayles, legendary writer-director John Sayles. He's going to be producing it. Sam Elliott will be starring.
Okay.
The film is called The Man Who Killed Hitler and Then Bigfoot. That's the name of the movie.
Okay.
I need to be in this film.
That's Bigfoot.
More than I needed to be in Samurai Cop.
Oh, you needed to be in Samurai Cop.
I was in Samurai Cop too,
yeah,
wasn't
that's
I?
That's true.
Wait, so the same person killed both? Okay.
What was confusing to you about
I guess
with
it
that
was
title,
right in the
where
title.
It said, The Man Who Killed Hitler and Then Bigfoot. What part of that confused you that you weren't sure if it was the same guy or not?
Could have been a twin.
This is why you're not going to be in the movie.
Interesting. I'm playing Bigfoot.
Here's the story. The story of a legendary American war veteran named Calvin Barr, played by Sam Elliott, who decades after serving in World War II and assassinating Adolf Hitler, is now living a peaceful life in New England.
He thinks.
When he is contacted by the FBI and the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and they ask him to lead the charge and hunt down Bigfoot, because he's carrying a deadly plague and is hidden deep inside the Canadian wilderness.
I'm in.
This movie has everything.
This movie has everything.
I'm in.
It's the greatest movie ever made, and it hasn't even been made yet. You remember, you heard it here first, The Man Who Killed Hitler and Then Bigfoot, starring Sam Elliott. And star Sam Elliott, too.
Right?
On top of everything else. Oh, my God, so good. I couldn't be more excited for anything ever.
To be a part of it?
Well, it's a matter of time.
Sure.
It's just a matter of time.
Sure.
But I'm just excited in general.
That does sound like a great movie.
Right?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Right. I almost can't believe Kevin Smith isn't directing it, because that's right up his alley. It's kind of the weird that he likes.
He's probably lobbying for that as well.
Yes. I don't know if you saw Survivor last night. Big, big doings last night on Survivor. It was disturbing and yet and shocking, and yet somehow by the end of it all, sort of life-affirming and beautiful. What I'm talking about is there was a guy named Jeff Varner on the show. He was on this tribe that went to tribal council, and he was trying to make a desperate play to get anyone else voted out of his tribe instead of him, because he realized that he was probably going to go home. So what he did was, in order to show that this other guy, Zeke Smith, was not to be trusted, that was, in his words, deceitful, he said, "How come you haven't told anyone else in the tribe that you are transgender?" Outed him during tribal council on last night's episode of Survivor Game Changers.
Now, in his mind, do you think he thought everybody's now going to turn on that guy and kick him off because he's transgender? Do you think that's what he was...
It's the only possible reason you would have for doing that, Kevin.
Why? That doesn't make any sense.
By painting him as deceitful, by him not telling people about his history as a transgendered man.
The word deceitful or deceptive has to be the biggest slap in the face to the transgender community, because they're not deceiving anybody.
No,
that's who they are.
Plus, it's this guy's...
It's his story to tell.
Right. It's his decision who he tells and when.
Oh, my God.
He's not obligated to tell anyone his history on a game show at all.
Who's this guy?
Jeff Varner was the name of the contestant who outed Zeke Smith.
Well, that was a miscalculation.
Show.
Yeah, Jeff.
And by the way, Jeff Varner is a out and proud homosexual man.
Okay.
Who said he was a big proponent and defender of the LGBTQ community.
Showed.
Sure did not show.
Nailed
last
that.
Night. So much so that even Jeff Probst himself released a statement. He said, "In 34 seasons of Survivor, I have rarely, if ever, personally commented on what is said or done in the game. But this is a unique situation that falls outside normal boundaries. I cannot imagine anyone thinking what was done to Zeke was okay on any level, under any circumstances, and not simply because there was $1 million on the line." That was his statement. But it was...
Wow.
It was shocking. But the upside was, with enormous grace and calm that Zeke Smith took that revelation, and how he was able to spin it into a very positive moment, not only for himself, but the transgender community. So it was kind of a cool moment last night. But it was funny, because everybody's, you know, in the midst of playing this game. But when that happened, everybody to a person on that tribe just sort of dropped their concern about the game and $1 million and who was going to vote who off, and just turned to this guy and said, what kind of person are you? Who could do that to someone? It was...
I don't know that that's ever happened on that show.
No, it's never been.
Because everybody's so obsessed with what they're going through and what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
It was kind of cool.
Ended up being kind of cool.
Yeah.
What a dick.
Yeah, he's a major dick. And he said afterwards, "Oh, I'm sorry, I got caught up." And it's like, is your decency worth $1 million? Is that the price you put on it?
Do you lose your humanity when you go on the show? Is that part of it?
I don't know. I'll be looking forward to seeing the reunion show at the end of the season when they bring people back, because I'm sure there will be a further conversation had with this gentleman, if he shows up, if he has the balls to show up. Today's celebrity birthdays: actor Ron Perlman is 67 years old today. Stained singer Aaron Lewis turns 45. Allison Williams, you know her from Girls. She is 29 years old. She was also Peter Pan, let's not forget.
She right. was indeed.
She was. And singer Lou Bega.
A little bit of Monica in my life.
Mambo number 5. I thought Mambo number 4 was better. I didn't care for 5. I can see why they stopped the franchise after that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, we're going to be broadcasting live from the K-Rock Party House at Coachella.
What?
got the movie beat because it's Friday. We are going to talk to one of the stars of Fate and the Furious. Ludacris will be on the program. We've got a brand new internet roundup and a Coachella preview with Kat Corbett as well tomorrow morning on The Kevin and Bean Show.